Welcome to Voices of Freedom
Radio.
All right, it's a very good lesson today because it's 250 years old, and when we talk about Jesus, the last time he walked the earth was over 2,000 years ago. So there's some good stuff here this morning. I hope you get something out of it. But I believe that Jesus Christ led 56 men to sign their death warrants when they signed this Declaration of Independence. And I believe that these men were every bit willing to go and to die for their country. And I think as you go down, and we can do it, in fact, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs here that's kind of broken out for us because it's kind of hard to read the Declaration. But it says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them. This is right out of the book of Genesis, right there in the area of Noah, when he told Noah that there's laws of nature and how nature's God is setting up the law and the government of the land. So this is language taken from the Bible. They'll tell you these men didn't believe this and they believed all these crazy different thoughts, but here it is. Then we go to the second paragraph. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. What is a self-evident truth? Pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? So we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. We get these protests in sports and, you know, the black folks think they're being mistreated, and they have been. But at the same time, there's only so much one person can make up to it. It's something that if Jesus were in more schools and more communities and more places, these things would be alleviated, these kinds of problems, because it only happens. You can't make somebody love somebody, but by changing the hearts of people, there you have it. So it says here, they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We want you to pursue your happiness. We want you to have the right to life and liberty as long as you don't infringe on the rights of others or break the laws of the land. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States and General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. Lord, if this is going to happen, let me translate this for you. If this is going to happen, you are going to have to make known or build up or allow this to happen. We can't do this. We have some intentions. We've prayed about it. But without you, this will not happen. We will not have the United States of America. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Once again, what's divine providence? God and God providing for those who believe in and depend on Him. So what am I going to do, it says here? Because we've asked God to be with us. We've asked God to support this. We've said we're going to follow the laws of nature and nature's God. We've said that all men are created equal. We've said we've got the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We've talked about the idea of being a supreme judge of the world, a sovereign authority that guides what happens and what's built up and what's taken down. And for the support of the declaration, with a firm reliance on this divine or godly power, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Are you getting a grasp of that just a little bit? These men, okay, they made a pledge to each other. Man, they were politicians and they were firing. They fought each other and they were of different political understandings and beliefs, but at the end of the day, when it came time to draft the document, they came together and said, we mutually pledge these things. See, we don't have leadership like this anymore. After all the delegates had signed the Declaration of Independence, Samuel Adams declared, we have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men sought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising to the setting of the sun, let his kingdom come. Boy, it sure sounds like somebody that might know something about the Bible and Jesus Christ and God Almighty to me. And we go on just a little bit further here. Let's talk about what these men went through, okay? Let's talk about these 56 men who were willing to sign on to something like this. It said, out of the 56 signers of the Declaration, a tremendous price for our freedom. 5 were arrested by the British as traitors. 12 had their homes looted and burned by the enemy. 17 lost their fortunes. 2 lost sons in the Continental Army. And 9 fought and died during the Revolutionary War. See, freedom is not a free thing, my dear friends. And a lot of people say, well, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, they really didn't believe. They just went along. Well, if Benjamin Franklin didn't believe, how come he wanted the seal and the motto to be Moses lifting up his wand and dividing the Red Sea, and Pharaoh in his chariot overwhelmed with the waters, with the motto, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God? Now, that's what Benjamin Franklin wrote. That's not me. This is William J. Federer, the author, and he compiled a book of quotes by America's God, titled America's God and Country. So it's not me. I'm not making this stuff up. So Thomas Jefferson proposed this as our seal and our motto. The children of Israel in the wilderness led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. What did these men know? They knew that God, through Moses, had led 2 million children out of the country of Egypt and destroyed the people against him. They had no fear about making that pledge, because in believing what was right and that God wanted this to be a separate nation to stand on its own, that they believed God would be with them. Now, let's go forward here just a little bit. Well, I still don't believe that's just 2 members of Congress, and and there's Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and Sam Adams, and John Adams signed a few things. It says here, George Washington was a general, not one of the founding fathers, mind you, but he said, every officer and man to live and act as becomes a Christian soldier, defending the dearest rights and liberties of his country. How about that? Now, how about this? September 11, 1777. We've gone, a year and a few months? Congress approved and recommended to the people that 20,000 copies of the Holy Bible be imported from other sources. This was in response to the shortage of Bibles in America caused by the Revolutionary War interrupting trade with England. The chaplain of Congress, Patrick Allison, brought the matter to the attention of Congress, who assigned it to a special congressional committee, which reported, the use of the Bible is so universal and its importance so great that your committee refers the above to the consideration of Congress. And if Congress shall not think it expedient to order the importation of types and paper, the committee recommends that Congress will order the Committee of Commerce to import 20,000 Bibles from Holland, Scotland, or elsewhere into the different parts of the states of the Union. Whereupon it was resolved, according to direct said Committee of Commerce, to import 20,000 copies of the Bible. Now there it is. Okay. There it is. Now, we can go on through here and we could read a lot more things. This is where we're at, folks. We're in the greatest country that was ever created, brought into existence by God leading these 56 men to lay down their lives, mutually pledge, you know. Man, oh man, isn't that something? Mutually pledge your lives, your fortunes, and your sacred honor. George Washington, the brave, the wise, the good, supreme in war, in council, and in peace, valiant without ambition, discreet without fear, confident without presumption, and disaster calm and success moderate in all himself. The hero, the patriot, the Christian, the father of nations, the friend of mankind, whom he had won all, renounced all, and sought in the bosom of his life and of his nature retirement and the hope of religion, immortality. That's what is on the inscription at Mount Vernon of what George Washington wrote about himself. Now, here's a little different time, but I think this could be a good thing here. This was written, it's called the Gettysburg Address, written by Abraham Lincoln. It said that 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now, he's going back to talk about that declaration that we just talked a little bit about, right? Dedicated to the proposition, dedicated to the idea, dedicated to the concept that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether the nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that their nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. The world would little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who have fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It's rather for us to be dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that while these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the full measure of devotion. That we were highly resolved with these dead shall not have died in vain. And this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that the government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Abraham Lincoln, 1863. Now here's Lincoln at his second inaugural address. You know, we've got such a country divided right now. There are so many different things. And it says, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wound, to care for him who shall be born the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. Pretty good stuff, isn't it? Thomas Jefferson again, just, you know, people say, oh, he believed all kinds of crazy stuff. He says, I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yeah, most of this here is just songs and different things. I think you kind of get where we're going with this today. Franklin Delano Roosevelt talked about four freedoms. He said, in future days, which we seek to make secure, we look forward to a world founded upon four essential human freedoms: freedom of speech and expression everywhere in the world, freedom of every person to worship God in his own way everywhere in the world, freedom from want, which is translated into world means economic understanding, which will secure to every nation a healthy peacetime life for the inhabitants everywhere in the world, freedom from fear, which translated into world terms means a worldwide reduction of armament such as to a point thorough fashion that no nation be in a position to commit an act of physical aggression against a neighbor anywhere in the world, and that there is no vision of a distant millennium. It is a definite basis for the kind of world attainable in our own time and generation. I believe he'd be a little bit surprised. We really maybe went backwards on that. So today, where are you in all this? Let's hope and pray for better things. Let's hope and pray that we could come back together and be what God wants us to be. Because that's what it's going to take in a way to make our country what it's supposed to be. So we wish you the best. We're hoping for the best. We want you to do the things God wants you to do and be what God wants you to be. And we'll see where we end up here. But God has a master plan for you. He wants you to be all that you can be. I hope that we can be there and be what God wants us to be. Have a great 4th of July. Talk to you soon.